Paramahamsa Vairagyagataya Ashoka Rishaka, the Divine Grace, E.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki, Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki, Ananti Goti Vaishnavrinda Ki, Prem Seko Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Garaha, Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivedanta Ki, Samaveda Bhaktivedanta Ki, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 9, Text 147 through 155. Swayam Bhagavan. Svayam Bhagavan Krishna Hari Lakshmi Ramana Gopika Ramana Harite Nara Narayana. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, attracts the mind of the Goddess of Fortune, but Lord Narayan cannot attract the mind of the gopis. This proves the super excellence of Krishna. Text 148. We can do it together. Narayane rakakata Shri Krishna apane gopikare hasya karaiti haya Narayane. To say nothing of Lord Narayan personally, Lord Krishna himself appeared as Narayan just to play a joke on the gopis. Text 149. Chatur bhuja murti dekaya gopi gane rage Se Krishna Gopikara Nahi Anugarage.
Although Krishna assumed the four-armed form of Narayan, he could not attract the serious attention of the gopis in ecstatic love.
Text 150. Gopinam Kasunvendra Nanandana Juso Bhavayasa Kastang Kriti Vignatum Samate Duruha Padvagri Sanjayina Prakriyam Avishkumbati Vaishavim Abhitanum Pasmin Bujar Jishnubir Yasang Hanta Chaburvir Adhubhuta Duchim Vagodaya Kunchati.
Once Lord Krishna playfully manifested himself as Narayan with four victorious hands and a very beautiful form. When the gopis saw this exalted form, however, their ecstatic feelings were crippled. A learned scholar, therefore, cannot understand the gopis' ecstatic feelings, which are firmly fixed upon the original form of Lord Krishna as the son of Nanda Maharaj. The wonderful feelings of the gopis in ecstatic paramaras with Krishna constitute the greatest mystery in spiritual life.
Text 151. Etakahi Prabhu Tanra Garva Kuna Karya Tanre Sukha Dite Kahe Siddhanta Piyara.
In this way, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu deflated the pride of Venkatabhata. But just to make him happy again, he spoke as follows.
Text 152. Dukanaba Viha Bhata Kaurun Parihasa Sastra Siddhanta Sunayate Vaishnava Vivasa.
The word pacified Venkatabhata by saying, actually, Whatever I have said is by way of jest. Now you can hear from me the conclusion of the sastras, in which every Vaishnava devotee has firm faith. Text 153. Krishna Narayana Yaiche Eka Isvarupa Gopi Lakshmi Vedana Hihaya Eka Rupa. There is no difference between Lord Krishna and Lord Narayan, for they are of the same form. Similarly, there is no difference between the gopis and the goddess of fortune, for they also are the same form. 154. Gopi Dvare Lakshmi Kare Krishna Sangasvada Isparatve Beda Manile Haya Aparada. The goddess of fortune enjoys the association of Krishna through the gopis. One should not differentiate between the forms of the Lord, for such a conception is offensive. 155. We'll chant responsively and then you can chant. Eka Ishvara Bhaktira Dhyana Anurupa. Eka Ishvara Bhaktira Dhyana Anurupa. Eka Ivid Grahe Kare Nanakara Rupa. Eka Ishvara Bhaktira Dhyana Anurupa. Eka Ivid Grahe Kare Nanakara Rupa. Eka Ishvara Bhaktira Dhyana Anurupa. Eka Ivid Grahe Kare Nanakara Rupa. Eka Ishvara Bhaktira Dhyana Anurupa. Eka Ivid Grahe Kare Nanakara Rupa. Eka Ishvara Bhaktira Dhyana Anurupa. Eka Ivid Grahe Kare Nanakara Rupa. Eka Ishvara Bhaktira Dhyana Anurupa. Eka Ivid Grahe Kare Nanakara Rupa. Eka Ishvara Bhaktira Dhyana Anurupa. Eka Ivid Grahe Kare Nanakara Rupa. The word for word. Eka Ishvara. The Lord is one. Bhaktira. Of the devotees. Dhyana. Meditation. Anurupa. According to. Eka I. One. Vigrahe. In form. Kare, exhibits, nana akara, different, rupa, forms. Translation. There is no difference between the transcendental forms of the Lord. Different forms are manifested due to different attachments of different devotees. Actually, the Lord is one, but he appears in different forms just to satisfy his devotees. Let's read it together. There is no difference between the transcendental forms of the Lord. Different forms are manifest due to different attachments of different devotees. Actually, the Lord is one, but he appears in different forms just to satisfy his devotees. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the Brahma Samhita, 533, it is stated, Advaitam Achyutam Anandim Anantarupam Adyang Purna Purushang Nava Yavanam Cha. Lord is Advaita, without differentiation. There is no difference between the form of Krishna, Rama, Narayan, and Vishnu. All of them are one. Sometimes foolish people ask whether when we chant Rama in the Hare Krishna mantra, we refer to Lord Ramachandra or Lord Balarama. If a devotee says that the name Rama in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra refers to Balaram, a foolish person may become angry because to him the name Rama refers to Lord Ramachandra. Actually, there is no difference between Balaram and Lord Ram. It does not matter whether one refers to Balaram or to Lord Ramachandra when chanting Hare Rama, for there is no difference between them. However, it is offensive to think that Balaram is superior to Lord Ramachandra or vice versa. Neophyte devotees do not understand this sastric conclusion, and consequently, they unnecessarily create an offensive situation. In text 154, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu clarified this in a very lucid way. Ishvara tve pade manile haya aparada. It is offensive for one to differentiate between the forms of the Lord. On the other hand, one should not think that the forms of the Lord are the same as the forms of the demigods. This is certainly offensive, as confirmed by the Vaishnava Tantra. Yastu naranayam devang brahma rudradi daivatai samat venaiva viksheta sa pasandi bhaved tuvam. A pasandi is one who considers the great demigods such as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan. Hari Bhakti Vilas 7.1.17. The conclusion is that we should neither differentiate between the forms of the Lord nor equate the forms of the Lord with the forms of demigods or human beings. For instance, sometimes foolish sannyasis, thinking the body of the Lord to be material, equate the Dridra Narayan with Narayan. And this is certainly offensive. Unless one is instructed by a bona fide spiritual master, he cannot perfectly understand these different forms. The Brahma Samhita confirms the Deshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhaktau. One cannot understand the differences between the forms of the Lord simply by academic study or by reading Vedic literature. One must learn from a realized devotee. Only then can one learn how to distinguish between one form of the Lord and another. The conclusion is that there is no difference between the forms of the Lord, but there is a difference between his forms and those of the demigods. Text. The goddess of fortune enjoys the association of Krishna through the gopis. One should not differentiate between the forms of the Lord, for such a conception is offensive. I'm very grateful to have this opportunity and privilege. I just would like to give thanks to all my spiritual teachers and all the senior devotees that are here. So this is a pastime of Venkata Bhatta and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the principle that's under discussion between them is the philosophical principle of Achintya Veda Veda Tadva, and Venkata Bhatta being from the Sri Sampradaya is a monist. Monism is one of the main philosophies of Ramanujacharya, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is one. Not monism, qualified monism. No. Well, Lord Chaitanya took from all the sampradayas, and the basis would be inconceivably simultaneously one and different. But Venkata Bhatta was from the Sri Sampradaya, and in the previous verses, it's explained that Lord Chaitanya understood that he felt that Lord Narayan and Lord Krishna were one. Yeah, that's what I meant. So, not monism, and he's a Vaishnava. He's a Vaishnava, but he thinks that Lord Narayana, all the forms of Krishna are one. No, I didn't mean to say that he's a monist, but that specific philosophy was imbibed by Venkata Bhatta. Rather than focus specifically on that philosophy, I'd like to just talk about how that philosophy is important in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. And specifically how, if we imbibe this philosophy of inconceivably simultaneously one and different, that we'll by nature practice empathy in all of our interactions. Can anyone give like a basic definition of empathy? Right, you can say the cliche to be in someone else's shoes, but to see from another person's perspective and feel and understand from their perspective. And so in order to do that, we have to actually try to feel in someone else's situation. And in order to know someone else's situation, we have to kind of get to know the person. In order to get to know the person, we have to inquire from that person. In my own life, you know, when I look back and see how Krishna has been in my life from the very beginning, even though I had no conscious awareness of Krishna, different spiritual paths presented themselves. And it wasn't until I met devotees that I felt like someone actually cared about me. People would present their philosophy to me as the absolute truth, and then I would have to either accept it or not accept it and not be a part of them. And I never felt like anyone really asked deeply to know how I felt and what my understanding was and where I was spiritually. And when I first met devotees, that was one of the first things I noticed, is that they were detached. Whether or not I accepted where they were or their understanding, they still loved me or accepted me anyway. And that really attracted me to devotees, and I wanted to know more and more deeply what they had that I was missing and what they had that I wanted, and how I could find that, how I could have the same realization. And I'd like to ask if you could just remember the first devotee you came in contact with and how that devotee made you feel. So in this pastime, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is traveling in South India, and he stops in the town of Ranga Kshetra. And Venkata Bhatta is a Brahmin, and he becomes friends with him, and they spend a lot of time together, and they joke, and Venkata Bhatta recites the entire Bhagavad Gita every day. And in their discussions, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, knowing the depth of the heart of Venkata Bhatta, inquires to him in order to get a deeper understanding, but at the same time also to guide Venkata Bhatta and give him some instruction. He asks Venkata Bhatta, why is it that Lakshmi, being such a chaste wife, wants to associate with my lord? And he says that he described Lakshmi as being the most chaste, always being right by Lord Narayan's side, but why is it that Lakshmi wants to associate with Krishna? And the answer that Venkata Bhatta gives is the philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, which is not the prominent philosophy that he in his mood, that Narayan is one with Krishna. He says that they're one, but he says that the pastimes of Krishna are actually very sportive and very attractive, and this is why Lakshmi is attracted to Krishna. So then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then asks, well, then why is it that Lakshmi can't enter into the rasa dance? She can't enter into the rasa dance as the gopis do. And Venkata Bhatta then, he declines the answer. He says, I'm just an ordinary person, and you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I would like to hear from you. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just talks about Krishna, Katha. He talks about Krishna being the son of Yashoda Nanda Maharaj, the king of Rajabhumi, and how sometimes he plays with his friends, and in a playful mood, other devotees will get on his shoulders, and how sometimes his mother binds him to the mortar, the grinding mortar. And that actually describes that Krishna has four qualities that no other incarnation has. And this is why devotees are especially attracted to Krishna, because of these pastimes. And in this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually, and Venkata Bhatta accepts this explanation, and this brings us to the verses that we discussed. And then Lord Chaitanya says, but actually it's offensive to say that Krishna is different than any of the incarnations. They're one. And in the purport, Prabhupada explicitly describes that Krishna is different than the demigods and different than the human beings, and that this is the difference that that we should have an understanding of, that no living entity is the same as Krishna. So how can one apply this, the knowledge of this pastime, the behavior of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement? And in kind of relating to my own experience, this inquiring, how can we inquire in such a way that it attracts others to Krishna? And Prabhupada says in the purport that inquiring to a spiritual master is critical for developing a personal relationship with Krishna. And in having a personal relationship with a spiritual master, that's been really a very important part of the development of my own Krishna consciousness. And in sharing Krishna consciousness with others, if we take the perspective of inquiring rather than directing, and I've found this to be much more an effective way to share Krishna consciousness with others. So if Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to direct Venkata Bhatta, he would have immediately come out and told him that, you know, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Narayan is not Krishna. But he asked him, what he wanted him to bring up, what his understanding was and what his relationship was like with Krishna. And so sometimes I think my tendency can be, you know, I'm so excited about Krishna consciousness, I just want to tell everyone that Krishna is God. But actually, what attracted me most was just when people tried to understand me and relate to me, because I perceived their love in that way. And in that, I became attracted to them. And a devotee's love for another person is actually a manifestation of their love for Krishna and for their spiritual master. And in this way, I became attracted to Krishna consciousness through a devotee's love and devotion to their guru and to Krishna. And if that's something that it's manifest every day when devotees go out on Sankirtan and do book distribution, or do preaching programs at home, or do preaching programs, or, you know, speak at the temple, or do preaching programs at colleges. And specifically, having a relationship with the spiritual master in such a way that I think helped me to make a more personal connection with Krishna. And to have someone who is actually a living example of Krishna consciousness. Before I met the devotees, my spiritual path was one of just, you know, it was more self-guided, self-directing. And I've learned that in order to surrender to Krishna, first and foremost, I need to take instruction from a spiritual master. And the spiritual master can be a friend, but also he'll give instruction either directly or in a guiding sort of a fashion. And in this pastime, Lord Chaitanya and Venkata Bhatta, they had kind of a joking type relationship where they would be very friendly. But then at one point, Venkata Bhatta says, "You're the Supreme Lord, and I want to hear directly from you." And that's when Lord Chaitanya explains more explicitly about Krishna. And so so empathy, trying to be in someone else's position and try to understand them and feel and understand from where they are in order to be more caring about that person, is really a connection that human beings manifest, but also it's because of our relationship with Krishna that something like empathy can manifest. It's not really a self-serving quality. And it's something that empathy that I hear a lot about in my own profession as a physician. They always encourage us to try to be empathetic, to connect with others. And I found that having an understanding of Krishna consciousness has really brought out more empathy on a more realistic platform, because I feel like by developing a relationship with Krishna, I have a better understanding of where everyone is really coming from, what type of deep suffering people are experiencing, not just physically and emotionally, but spiritually. And in order to touch that spiritual illness and really help people to help give people what they need, we have to have that Krishna consciousness. We have to develop that Krishna consciousness within ourselves. Does anyone have any questions or comments at this point? Yes, you do.
I appreciate the point you're making about how Lord Chaitanya is dealing with Venkata Bhatta was considerate. Even in the verses we read today, it said there how Prabhupada couldn't take it, but Krishna was the king. And so he expressed it in such a way, that stressing the equality of Narayana and Krishna. But the joking relationship allowed him to make a difference as well. So I think that's a very important quality in sharing Krishna consciousness with others. And there are other instances as well in the Shastra where the Lord, when dealing with someone, deals with them in such a way to break their pride. Oh, with Lord Chaitanya and the scholar, Keshava Kashmiri, he defeated him without breaking him completely and instructing him. But I think that's a good quality of Krishna and how we should protect him if we can use our teaching.
Thank you.
There's two things that I was wondering if this is the same as like they have an expression, saving face, that you give a person a way to save face, if that's what Seisha was referring to, as opposed to humiliating somebody. I think you give them a way that they can understand it. Is that the same usage of saving faith, is it like that? And then
yes, you could use it like that.
And there's another, I guess, colloquialism where it says many a truth is said in jest, that you can, many things are said, but they're said in a way that it's like a joke, because it's easier to assimilate like that. It's easy to hear if you can put it into a jesting way.
Thank you. Children are like this. If you tell them not to do something, they'll do it. So if you tell them not to do it, they may do it. If you tell them to do it, they won't do it. So it's kind of like the opposite mentality, right? So to try to change someone's behavior, like we want to try to change a child's behavior to give the child a good behavior, you really have to be very expert at that in the way that you speak with them. And I found that asking the right question, like Lord Chaitanya is asking the exactly right question and having the person answer that question, one, it will give you an idea of where they are. And then two, also, if you ask it in such the right question, in a guiding sort of a way, the answer that they give, actually they'll hear themselves, and it can reinforce where they are, and they can change their behavior. You can help someone change their behavior that way by asking them the right questions. They might not be ready to change, but they may have the desire and the feelings inside to change. And by hearing themselves say that, it kind of reinforces that. In such a way that you telling them to change and how to change will actually negate their desire to change.
Is that what they used to call it, the Socratic method of teaching, where you'd ask a question, because his premise was that they already know. You just have to direct them to say it so they can hear it.
Right.
So I'll say it.
Right. Right, so and the person asking the questions is the one that's controlling the conversation also. So if you just give someone a long monologue, they may or may not know if they're even listening. But if you ask questions, you can guide the conversation, and the person will feel love from you naturally, because one, they're talking about themselves, and people love to talk about themselves. And two, because you're asking the questions, you're guiding the discussion, and you can help guide a person that way, by asking the right questions.
This is a personal question. You were mentioning that as a being in contact with the devotees, you and you being a physician, it has helped you dealing with the patients, and even maybe spiritually also, helping them spiritually. So I'm just wondering, how have you helped, or how do you see helping your patients spiritually?
So it's challenging, because in my training, the spirituality is part of a history, but we usually don't openly discuss it unless someone is at the end of life, and that's the main time that it comes up. So the preaching that I try to do is very subtle. And really it's through empathy. I feel like by being a devotee, I've better been able to cultivate the quality of empathy. And I think that for me, it's challenging, especially in an environment that's not structured for a person to be very empathetic. Like, it's hard to be empathetic in like 8 minutes when, you know, the nurse is knocking on the door, you know, your pager's going off, there's so many things happening, and then you're trying to really connect with the person in a very human way. it's very challenging. And so I've kind of found ways to, you know, improve my relationship with my patients in an environment that I feel like is not structured for a person to be very empathetic. And I think it's personal. I mean, I can give an example which may help, because I think it's different for everyone. I've made a habit to, after the visit, to bring patients into my office, which is like right next to my exam room. And in there I have pictures of Krishna. And I feel like, so I print out a prescription or their labs, and then I have it print in my office. And then I, at the end of the visit, I have the patient leave the room and come into my office just for a minute. And then they can see these pictures of Krishna. And that, more than half the time, will spark some conversation. It backfired on me once. There is a patient who I thought actually would appreciate the photos because he was Indian bodied, but I was very wrong. He saw them and he was like, "What is this?" He's like, "Lord Jesus is the savior." And I was like, "Oh, this backfired. I don't know if I can do this again. You know, maybe I shouldn't have him steal these pictures." But anyways, I thought he might not come back and see me, but he did. So I guess he forgave me. But
I was wondering what the Sanskrit word is that we use for empathy. Para dukkha dukkhi deals the others suffering as himself, same as himself. Also, in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, there's a verse.
Thank you.
The verse? Yeah, now you got me. I don't know on my heart. I know the word Atma Pramnin. Does anyone know that? Atmavat sarva bhuteshu vyapasyati sapandita. One who sees others as himself is a learned person. He should also see other people's wife as, other women as his wife, and other as his, oh, excuse me, as his mother. Matrivat. Excuse me. Yeah. Paradrovyesha Loshtavat. All right. Atma pramnena sarvatra samam pashyati yojana sukham bhayati va dukham sa yogi paramomata. Krishna says he is a perfect yogi who, by comparison to his own self, sees the true equality of all beings in both their happiness and distress, O Arjuna. And Prabhupada says in the purport, one of the first sentence, one who is Krishna conscious is a perfect yogi. He is aware of everyone's happiness and distress by dint of his own personal experience.
So I'd just like to end the class with sort of a challenge. When I meet someone, in one of my patients, who I feel like I want to broach the topic of spirituality, maybe, and usually it's someone who has some cancer or some serious infection, I'll ask them if they have faith. Rather than ask them what's your religious orientation, or I just found that that's a very non-threatening way to bring up spirituality, and I just let them talk, and I don't really add much about myself unless they ask me, but I find that it's very therapeutic for them to talk about their relationship with Krishna in that way, and so the next time you find yourself in a situation where you are with someone who you don't, who may not know that you're a devotee, but there's an opportunity for you to speak about Krishna, I'd like for you to think of a way that you can phrase a question that can help guide the conversation towards the person expressing their relationship with Krishna in some way, just like what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanandi.